Welcome back, everybody. This is session two of our Becoming One marriage seminar. I borrowed some material from the Alpha marriage course, which is quite a good course. If you ever want to take a very in-depth course where you meet every week for a couple hours over like 7 or 8 weeks, it's very worthwhile. So I took some of their points and some of their exercises, because the exercises that you do together are very important. You'll probably get more out of the discussion questions like we just did and praying together and then these exercises than you will out of hearing me talk. So that's why I want to make sure that we have time after each session to do something together and to discuss what you heard, because that's where you'll gain the most benefit. In the Alpha marriage course, they describe 4 seasons of marriage, and I thought this was helpful. Season number 1 is spring. Married with no children. And that is characterized by being full of anticipation and excitement. Some people only had about 9 months of the anticipation and excitement. Now, the important point here is the greatest need, they say, is to accept one another. Just build that acceptance. Love each other. Season 2, summer, family with children under 12, characterized by being busy and tired. Do I get an amen from any of our young families here? The greatest need is to give time to the marriage relationship. And I 100% agree with this. It's hard to do. You must make time for each other. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Third, autumn, family with teens at home, characterized by changeable and often stormy environment. The greatest need is to support and encourage each other. So you're in this together. Then the winter, it's just the two of you. This could be the longest season of your marriage. No. The longest season. It is. So I turned 60 this past summer. Ingrid and I were talking. She's saying, Dave, it's like the kids are like, you know, gone. We could live for like another 25 years. So we're going to have, you know, we have to think about what are we doing the next 25 years. I mean, the last 25, we're super busy, all the kids, and that's important. And it seems kind of funny, but some people's marriages fall apart at this point in life because they've just kind of gutted it out through the teenagers and the kids and everything. And then you're looking at each other and you've lost your closeness. Now, you don't have to give up. I said this in our church service recently. Why do people get married? Because they fall in love, quote unquote. Okay, why do people get separated or think about divorce or get divorced? They say, oh, we're not in love anymore. Well, to which I respond, well, if you fell in love once, you can fall in love again. And you can. Love's a choice. Cultivating romance is something you can do. And so we need to learn to do that. So this is important. I mean, Ingrid and I are the only ones here right now in the winter stage. It sounds really bleak. And so I said in the first session that I love being married to my wife. We enjoy our marriage now more than ever. About 2 years ago exactly, during spring break from Ingrid's teaching, we went to the Grand Canyon because we said, we've never been to the Grand Canyon. So we went there, we drove all around. We both agreed it was the most enjoyable vacation we've ever had together. It was great. We talk about, oh, we had such a good time. Yeah. And so I'm you guys are all laughing. So I'm encouraging you. You go through seasons in marriage. Your marriages go up and down. There's times you feel really close together. There's times you feel a strain on your relationship. It's real, and you have to address it together. Okay, we're in this together. We don't allow the strains to pull us apart. We address them. We talk about them. We pray together. We say we're sticking by each other, even though it's hard right now. That's what you do. And what happens is when you come out on the other side of a hard situation, your relationship is stronger, your trust is deeper, and you have a better marriage. And so you have to learn to embrace and walk through the difficult times together. I want to focus on making time for each other because this is crucial. in order to build oneness, we must give time to each other on a regular basis. Does that make sense to everybody? We intentionally set aside time each week to be alone together. At a minimum, this is from the marriage course, plan 1 or 2 hours weekly to have fun, talk about your feelings, your hopes, fears, worries, excitements. Just be together. So for all of you with little children, that's a challenge. So this is what Ingrid and I did. So we have 6 children. We had them. David was born, like, we were married in July. David was born 11 months later. And we had kids almost like every 2 years, and then the last couple were 3 or 4 years apart. So it was a very intense time. So I had certain rules, somewhere to bless Ingrid and then just for us together. So rule number one was no one was allowed out of their bedroom until 7 o'clock. So they woke up at 6:30, too bad, you stay in bed, you read a book, because I wanted Ingrid to have time with the Lord by herself, and then I wanted to be able to pray with her. Now, we didn't necessarily pray a long time. We might have only prayed a couple of minutes, or maybe we prayed 5 or 10 minutes, but I wanted to make sure that we had the time to do that. Intentionally set aside time in the evening. We got our kids to bed at an early hour. So it's like at 8 o'clock, everybody went to bed. We wanted to do that so that way Ingrid could have a break. We could have a chance again to talk together. So this is something you have to plan. And it's very easy to, okay, you know, you're done for the day. You get the kids down. You just like, whatever, turn on the TV to veg for an hour. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. But if you just do that every night rather than communicating with each other, you're not building your marriage. Some of you have demanding jobs, and it takes up a lot of hours during the week. And so a whole week can blow by, and you haven't really talked about how things are going and how you're feeling and how you're doing. Well, you have to make time for that. So you have to plan. If you have a day timer, you write it in. If it's on your phone, you type it into your Google schedule or whatever. But if you don't plan to do it, a week goes by, 2 weeks, it's just the time flies.
I was going to interject just newborn babies. When you have a new baby, they don't go to bed at 8 o'clock.
Yes, that's harder.
Right. I was just going to say, when you have a new baby, that's different.
Yeah, you just put the baby down, though, for a while. You know what I mean? David, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. I just had a thought on the whole, set aside 1 or 2 hours to have fun and talk about your feelings. Just want to say that as a guy, I have no idea what it means to talk about your feelings still, even after 13 years of marriage. However, I thought it was very helpful. I just wanted to highlight when you said your hopes, fears, worries, excitements. I can talk about each of those things. So I just wanted to highlight that if you're feeling
confused
about what to say when they say talk about your feelings.
You're doing it right now.
So, David, you're just stereotyping guys again.
I'm not. I'm just trying to give it.
You're good. Okay, my wife and I had this discussion just a few weeks ago. She said something to this. Dave, sometimes I feel like you don't even have any feelings. So I'm trying to express how I think and feel more.
Yeah, but Dad, Dad said,
I'm happy. And it was about a memory from his past, not what he loved his dad, but his dad.
I did that for you, sweetie. Normally, I would just keep that feeling to myself.
It was good.
We're still learning. Wow. We're still learning. Praise God. Okay.
I'm so glad we recorded
making time for each other. Here we go. The Alpha Marriage Course calls this marriage time. That's a nice name because you're working on your, this is time for your marriage. Wonderful. Plan the time together. Like I said, you have to schedule it. Prioritize your time together. That means keep the appointment. Protect your time together from interruptions and distractions.
No phones.
Exactly. You got to turn the phone off or put it in the other room. You have to, you know, turn the television off. You know, you if you're wanting to sit down and talk, you can't have your phone or the TV going. So make sure, whatever works for you. Next point is very important. Learn to pray together on a regular basis, preferably daily. Edwin Lewis Cole was a men's speaker, said this, the place of agreement is the place of power. And he's quoting from Matthew 18, 19 on your sheet. Jesus said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. So when you're married, you have an automatic prayer partner. You have someone that you can agree with in prayer. And so often, as couples, we don't take advantage of that because we didn't see that modeled when we grew up, probably. We're just busy. And so again, Ingrid and I just practice before I go out in the morning, even if I run off to like an early, I have lots of early morning meetings or prayer meetings, I'll go in, and we'll just pray for a minute or two. You can always pray for a minute or two. You're not too busy to do that. It just gets us in agreement for the day. We pray for our kids. We pray for what's happening. And then there's other days where maybe we're not in a hurry, then we can pray for 10 or 15 minutes. We can talk a little bit about what's going on, you know, how Ingrid's feeling, what I'm hoping for, excited about, or what responsibilities I have. And we pray together. So you can pray about everything. Again, sometimes people don't know, well, like, how do you pray? You pray about everything. We pray for our kids. We pray for how we're doing psychologically, emotionally, our strength level, our tiredness level, anything. All those things are prayer. I love what Jesus said. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. God's intimately acquainted with what's going on in our minds and in our hearts. Praise God. So we get to give that to Him. We get to cast our burdens on the Lord. So I really encourage you to learn to do this. Make time to pray over ongoing issues and needs in your life. Pray the Word of God. It's very helpful. Even sometimes just to read like a couple verses of Scripture. This is something okay. This is something that's important. So we pray for it. Or it's something we need to do. Or there's a promise of God. I mean, look at the promises of God for peace, for strength, to guide your future. So we pray for those things. Okay, Lord, we need peace right now. Or we need strength. I'm really tired. We need to believe God. Things, we're not sure what's going to happen. Your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, in this situation. So we pray practical, specific prayers about what's going on in our life. Does that make sense? Yes. So there's an old saying, pray the promises. If there's a promise of God, we get to pray because of Jesus Christ. That's something we can ask God to give us.
And just to add, there are many, many good daily devotionals. If you don't feel, I mean, you as a pastor are very comfortable, just pray a few scriptures and many people aren't, but there's lots of good either marriage devotionals or just daily devotionals. Just do it. Yeah. Sometimes it helps to have a plan where someone else just guides you through it.
Yeah. Yes. Devotionals are helpful and inspiring. But I want to say everybody can learn to like share scripture with each other and pray. I wasn't a pastor. I got married and became a pastor at the same time, but it wasn't like I had any experience praying with a wife. Or, you know, ministering God's word to a wife. You know what I mean? It's like, Ingrid's my one and only wife. I learned by trying ups and downs. Encourage each other with God's truth. You know, I appreciate Ingrid sometimes say, oh, I read this. And she'll say, I think this is for you. Next point, growing in love for each other. Love is more than feelings. When I was a kid, there's a great song, Feelings, Nothing More Than Feelings. And I always laugh about that. It's meeting the needs or desires of another, sometimes at a cost to ourselves. That was the marriage course. I'd say sometimes, most of the time. Mother Teresa, she's great. She goes, you got to love, and we have to love and give till it hurts. I mean, that was her, you know, way she lived her life. There's a cost. Well, Jesus is our example, right? We look to Christ. He gave himself on the cross. Love gives because God gives and God is love. Amen? Amen. So he's the source of our love as well. When we receive the love and grace of God into our lives, that empowers us to love other people. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. This is a scripture that you should have memorized. I quote this to myself all the time, especially when I'm not feeling like making someone more important than me. But this is what love is. This is how God calls us to to live. There was a quote in the marriage guide, when we feel loved, we feel like loving. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
When we feel loved, yeah. And so let's love each other. The opposite is also true. When you feel judged, then you judge other people. Ingrid and I have discussed this before. There's times where they're struggling and she goes, you know, it's like I realize like I'm judging other people because I feel judged, you know, and it's just positively it works and negatively it works. So we need to be aware of how we're thinking and feeling. So guys, we do need to learn to be aware of how we're feeling because we do have feelings. We just tend to not talk about them as much. So if I am feeling judged by my boss, by other Christians, that's going to affect me. I'm going to look at other people askance. That's why some people never get involved in like a small group or a community group at a church because they're just kind of feeling like, do people really accept me here? Mm-hmm. So they don't enter in. So we have to, especially for each other in this marriage relationship becoming one, we have to make sure that we're not judging each other. We have to communicate about the fact that we love each other and we're not judging you. So that's something we have to express to each other. Any questions or thoughts on that? All right, this next point. We had friends who years ago were struggling in their marriage. They got together with their pastor and his wife, and they were talking about, the wife especially was sharing like all her concerns and what was wrong. And the pastor said this. He goes, what you need to do is lower your expectations and increase your appreciation. That wasn't what she was looking for. But I've always remembered that. I thought that was very wise advice. Lower your expectations. Not that we shouldn't expect things from one another. We should, but just lower them. Increase your appreciation. That's what I was saying earlier about meditating on how blessed you are to have a spouse, all the good things that they do and what they're like and how you are better off by God giving them to you. Okay, the last point here, we grow in unity by knowing and understanding each other. So there's a place for growing in communicating what we're feeling, thinking, what's going on, how are we responding to life. You can study your spouse to discover what matters to him or her. Learn to listen. If you listen to people, you find out what they like. Then you know how you can bless them and encourage them. You listen, you find out what they're worried about. But if we don't learn to listen, and we're going to talk more about listening in the next session, then you miss the opportunity to build each other up and grow closer together. How many of you have read The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman? Is there anyone who hasn't read it? Okay, David has it. I had a couple copies at home and I forgot to bring them. That's a book that's really well worth getting.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend.
All right. Really? Peter, you recommend that?
Helped Peter in his relationship with Evan. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So it just helps you understand. The essence of the book is, we generally think that other people are blessed by what blesses us. So if I like people to speak encouraging words to me, then I'll speak encouraging words to someone else. But for them, that might not mean it. What they want is quality time together. Or they like little gifts. Or they like physical touch and hugs. So the whole book just teaches you how to understand what is meaningful to your spouse, and then you can give them what's meaningful to them. And that really helps your relationship.
It actually also helps your relationship with your kids and your friendships and
very
the people
good.
That you work with.
Absolutely. It works for everybody. And another point that I saw in the course was desires change over time. And that's why you have to learn to communicate and talk, because there's times where there's certain things that are important to you at one stage of life. 5 years later, that might not be as important anymore. And so, again, you grow in unity by knowing and understanding each other in that way. So what we're going to do next is there is a little exercise called Knowing Me, Knowing You that I got from the Marriage Course by Alpha. So you can read it. It's very simple. You just pick the three things that are most important to you, and then the three things that you think are most important to your spouse, and then you compare your answers. And so that is very telling, because lots of times we don't understand each other as much as we think we do.
So in numbers 1 and 2, we're doing it without them looking at us.
Right, you do it. You fill out the little chart by yourself. It only takes a few minutes, and then you come back and talk about it. And then I want you to write down one thing that you learned from the exercise, like on your, outline here, so you can remember it and begin to work on it.